Please forgive me, sir, for interrupting Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson. My name is Todd Friel. I am the executive director of Fortis Institute, and I'm breaking in just for a moment to encourage you to please consider partnering with Fortis Institute as the year draws to a close. This is a crucial giving season. Right now, we have a match giving campaign, which means every dollar you give will be doubled, and you will allow us to continue to produce what is, well, it's a juggernaut. This podcast, top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, reaching so many men, equipping them to be godly, biblical men. If that describes your experience, would you please consider supporting Fortis Institute? You will allow us to continue reaching more and more men with godly truth that will help them to be the men that people admire. You can support Fortis Institute at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk to young men about how to grow and mature in your faith. Welcome to Way of Manhood, guys. We are addressing Gen Z. And today, I want to begin a new series where I'm going to talk to you guys about worry and anxiety. Let me just kick off today's show with Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, young man, I hope that you know that passage because that's the marquee text in the Bible to really talk about how to battle anxiety and worry by bringing your request to God in prayer and allowing the peace of God, which passes all understanding, to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so as we look at this topic, we just want to acknowledge that worry and anxiety are part of living in a sin-cursed world. And for the sake of this series, I'm going to use the word worry and anxiety interchangeably. Worry and anxiety are a part of life. You may feel anxious before you take a test or before you walk down an inner city street if you parked your car somewhere in downtown Los Angeles. I mean, these things can make you be anxious, and sometimes anxiety can be useful. It helps you to be alert and to be careful and to take caution. And anxiety typically ends soon after you're out of the situation that caused it. I mean, you could have worry or anxiety about getting on a certain roller coaster, but as soon as you get off the roller coaster, you are fine. I feel this way sometimes. A few years ago, we were able to go to Cedar Point in Ohio, and I faced a little anxiety when me and my three older kids all rode on Millennium Force. I mean, I'm telling you, this roller coaster is no joke. It makes Goliath here at Magic Mountain in Los Angeles seem like a kiddie ride. I mean, the Millennium Force roller coaster was 310 feet high with a 300-foot drop. The Millennium Force goes about 93 miles an hour, and it does this for just about the whole track, which is well over a mile long. Did I have some anxiety? You bet I did. But after I got off, my anxiety was gone until we rode it a second time. But for many Christians, anxiety doesn't go away, and it actually gets worse over time. And when your anxiety or your worry builds up over time, it can be detrimental to your health. So we're not talking about just a little thrill ride. We're talking about when worry and anxiety becomes a part of your life. It really does affect your health. In fact, most people would say that we all worry from time to time, but if you can't shake it after a couple hours or even a few weeks, it can really start to take its toll on your life. You know, that could be just your normal work schedule, your school schedule, your home life. And if it really is impacting you, then it's always good to maybe just see your doctor. I mean, if your health is beginning to suffer and it's taking a toll on your health, it may be linked to what doctors call an anxiety disorder. Now, again, I don't fully buy into all of that, but I'm just saying part of the discussion in this field would be that your nervous system, you know, that part of your body is a messaging network that's made up of your brain and your spinal cord and nerves, and there are special cells called neurons. And worrying too much, according to some research, triggers a release of stress hormones that speed up your heart rate and breathing, and that raise your blood sugar and send more blood to your arms and legs. And over time, if this effect is lasting, it can start to make a dent on the healthiness of your heart, your blood vessels, your muscles, and other organ systems. In fact, when you're troubled about something, the muscles in your shoulder and neck can tense up, and it can lead to migraine headaches or tension headaches. And if you're worried a lot, you might breathe more deeply. And while this usually isn't a big deal, it can be serious if you've already have breathing problems connected to asthma or different lung diseases or different conditions. And I'm just trying to say that if worry sticks around long enough, something as small as a nagging concern in the back of your mind can affect your body. It can affect your heart. It can your physical heart, right? It can make you more likely to have high blood pressure, to have a heart attack, or to have a stroke. And higher levels of anxiety can trigger those stress hormones that make your heart beat faster and harder. And if that happens over and over, day after day, week after week, month after month, then your blood vessels may get inflamed, which can lead to hardened arterial walls and unhealthy cholesterol levels and other problems. And this is why your doctor says you need to kind of take it easy. Anxiety can lead to stomach pain and sores in your stomach lining called ulcers. And if there can be an organic cause linked to worry and anxiety, such as hyperthyroidism or hyperglycemia or some type of growth or tumor, then by all means, you should have that physical problem treated. But if there is not any empirical data that demonstrates that this is strictly an organic or physiological issue, then you need to look deeper than just at the body. You need to look at your soul. What's really going on in your inner man? And what's going on in your thoughts? And what's going on in your heart? I mean, we are living in some unprecedented times. Suicide rates have gone up dramatically, and all of the economic stress that's out there and all of the challenges to Gen Z life have led to why psychiatrists call constant and pervasive anxiety is becoming a real issue. The world's solution to fixing these things is to get you all vaccinated up, to maybe encourage you to try yoga, and maybe to take different varieties of medication. And sometimes I hear people even say things like, I'm afraid to go out, or I'm anxious to go to church, or I'm worried about what's going on in our country. And I hear this even from committed Christians. And if that's you today, you kind of struggle with anxiety and worry, then I just want to remind you that the Lord is still with you. I mean, while the unknown will always exist, be reminded today, young man, that the Lord has said, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so we have a faith that can combat the effects of worry and anxiety. And we have a faith that can help us realize Christ's presence so as to keep us calm and to keep us composed, even in the rough sea that we travail through. And Peter was thinking about this in that familiar story when Jesus bid him to come to him through the water, and Peter got out and he started walking on the water, and then he started noticing the choppy seas and he sunk into the water. And the same thing can happen to us when we don't fix our eyes on Jesus, but instead we start looking at our problems and the difficulties in life. And so when you walk with the Lord, we will get into all kinds of difficulties, many a boisterous sea, but when we are one with Christ, His safety is our safety and His peace is our peace. And as the storms of this world continue to blow, please remember that he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And as his disciples, we are in the same boat with Jesus. And the Lord calls us to rest on that with undivided hearts. For the Lord is with us in the boat, and he is with us when we step out into the water. This is just all an introduction on a three-part series that we're going to be looking at in greater depth about what is worry and anxiety. What is it? How do we fight it? I just mentioned a whole lot of physiological contributions, but also want to talk about what's really going on in the inner man. And so we're going to take some time to look at the definition of worry, and then we'll look at the explanation of worry, and then we're going to see an examination of worry, okay? So let's start off with number one, the definition of worry. I want to talk to you about what worry is not, okay? What worry is not. Worry is not an appropriate concern for others, okay? 1 Corinthians 12:25, Paul writes that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And this word care in the original is the word merimenao. And this is the same word that is translated to worry. The word means to be anxious, to worry about, to care for, or be concerned about. So don't go away, because when you come back, we want to continue to dig in to our study on worry and anxiety. And we're starting off with what worry is not.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment. But that correlation that he made, pretty profound to me. He just connected migraines and ulcers, heart problems. He connected all of those things to anxiety. I mean, our bodies are literally breaking down from carrying burdens that we were never meant to carry alone. And I don't think I've ever sat and thought about it the way he just said that. And that's a physical reality that I think we would do well to deal with. Our actual hearts are being damaged by spiritual battles. Tell you what, that's, I believe, what makes biblical education extremely critical. The folks at the Master's University, they understand this. They get it, because they're not just training minds. What they're doing is they're forming whole people. Young men just like you, just like me, they show up to the Master's University and they're carrying anxiety. It's already affecting their health. In TMU, they're not just throwing Bible verses at them. What they're doing is they're teaching them how theology actually intersects with reality. So if you're college age, maybe you're just about to graduate high school, maybe you know someone who is, or maybe you're just thinking about going back to college yourself, I want to urge you to check out masters.edu/manhood. And this daily anxiety, well, according to the world, it requires daily medicine. But that medication that the world wants to throw on you is in the form of pills. Well, Fortis Plus delivers a different type of medicine. We deliver medicine in the form of truth. Think about what Dr. Tyson said in that first segment. He said worry that sticks around day after day, week after week, it compromises your immune system. So then imagine truth, biblical truth, being poured into your mind at that same rate, countering the lies of the world before they even take root. That's what we're attempting to do at Fortis Institute, and that's why you can find hundreds of hours of audio and video content right now on Fortis Plus, absolutely free of charge, and we're adding to it every day. Again, it is free. It's not a free trial. It is free forever. You can download it right now from your app store, whether it's the app store on your smartphone or the app store on your smart TV, or you can just simply go to fortisplus.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood, where we're taking an in-depth look at worry and anxiety. In the first part of our show, we talked about all kinds of reasons that we might struggle with worry and anxiety, many of them physiological. But for our time together today and in the shows to come, we want to talk more, obviously, about the spiritual side. And so the first thing we got to do is define what worry is and what worry is not, okay? So we started right before the break, we started talking about what worry is not, okay? Number one, worry is not an appropriate concern for others. Okay. Paul talked about that being part of the body of Christ, we should have the same care for one another. And that word care, merimenao, it's the same word that's translated to worry. The word means to be anxious or worry about or care for or be concerned about. So you have to really let the context help you determine whether to translate this word, merimenao, as care, like appropriate care for one another, or as worry. In this context of 1 Corinthians 12:25, when Paul says that the members may have the same care for one another, that particular context is in the chapter of 1 Corinthians 12, talking about that all Christians have different parts to play as part of the body of Christ. You know, what would the eye do without the ear? And how would the ear exist without the eye? And how would you make it without the hand or without the foot? And so we're all being reminded that we're all many parts of the same body. And as parts of the same body, we ought to have the same care for one another that we have for ourselves. I mean, we should care for one another as Christians. This is a type of deep concern and care that believers can possess and that we should possess, which is constructive. And this kind of care is not sinful worry. Again, in this context of 1 Corinthians 12, the church being compared to a body is saying we ought to be caring for one another. We ought to be thinking about each other. We ought to be supporting one another. And in fact, when one part of the body is injured or isn't working, the rest of the body is supposed to come alongside and help. And as we, the body of Christ, think about this, we're to come along and help one another so that we can work together in unity. I mean, what happens when you hit your thumb with a nail? You know, you ever been nailing in a nail to a piece of wood and all of a sudden you hit your thumb? The first thing I do is I grab it and stick it in my mouth. You know, I don't know why, but I kind of kiss my thumb or suck on it for just a second to maybe help. And then my whole body crouches over and I grasp my hand and my thumb with my other hand. And so I'm just saying the whole body instinctively responds. And that's how the body of Christ ought to be. When one part is hurting, we ought to be caring for one another and we ought to come together in unity. And we as members of Christ, we're part of his body. And so we're supposed to be caring for one another. We're supposed to be praying for each other. We're to serve each other and come alongside one another. And there is there is an appropriate concern that we're to have for one another. And scripture recognizes certain types of intense concern as being perfectly legitimate for Christians. And so we're looking at here that worry is not an appropriate concern, that care is normal and natural and even God-honoring. But a second thing that worry is not, it's not an appropriate concern, but worry is also not proper concern that causes you to attend to business in a responsible way. Worry is not a proper concern that causes you to attend to business in a responsible way. Listen to what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. He says, "And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches." Now think about that, because here's our same word, merimenao, in this passage, 2 Corinthians 11, 28. It's translated as anxiety. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, "Hey, Adam, I thought all anxiety is sin." Well, that's why I'm showing you a few places here where it's not a sin. It's not a sin for us, like in our previous passage, 1 Corinthians 12, 25, to care for one another. And it's not a sin for us in this passage, at least for Paul, to have what's translated, at least in the ESV, as anxiety for all the churches. And so here, this word translated anxiety, again, our same word, but in this context, it's not sinful anxiety, but rather it is the type of anxiety in the sense of having an appropriate concern to attend to the business of serving the churches. I mean, Paul is talking about how he suffered many things as an apostle, and so he suffered when he was trying to go from church to church to check on them. As you remember, in Acts chapter 13, he went out on his first missionary journey, and then he did a second one and a third one, and he's planting churches all over Asia Minor, and he faces all kinds of difficulties. In fact, a little bit later, Paul talks about how he suffered five times. He was beaten by the Jews, 40 minus one. Three times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned, three times he was shipwrecked, He was left to drift in the open sea for a day and night. He faced danger from rivers and danger from robbers and danger from Jews and dangers from the Gentiles and danger in the city and danger in the wilderness. You're starting to get a drift here of what Paul's saying. He faced many a toil and hardship, and he faced many a sleepless night. And he knew what it was like to experience hunger and thirst, and he had suffered cold and exposure. And in the midst of all this, he had the daily pressure of serving all the churches. He was kind of like the church planter, and he felt responsible for checking up on them to make sure they were being well cared for with appropriate teaching and shepherding. And no one knows the daily pressure of caring for the flock like a pastor or an elder. I mean, the pressure of attending to the flock, the pressure of preparing sermons every week, the pressure of walking with people through the valleys of life. You know, just yesterday, I had to meet with a family who just lost their boy in a motorcycle accident. And this family is crying on my shoulder as they are working through all the ins and outs of this horrible tragedy. And as a pastor, you're trying to walk through these things with your people. And this is the kind of anxiety or concern that was all about here for Paul. It's all about attending to the business of serving the churches in a God-honoring way. The word merimenao, again, it's used in another passage in Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, where Paul said that he had no one like young Timothy who was genuinely interested in serving the churches like the church of Philippi. Here's what he writes in Philippians 2:20. Paul says, "For I have no one like him," talking about Timothy, "who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare." And so here, the word merimenao is translated as genuine concern. And so we're saying that's a good thing. We need to be genuinely concerned. And so we're learning, again, what worry is not. Worry is not appropriate concern like Paul for all the churches. Worry is not tending to the business of serving those churches. Here's a third thing that worry is not. Worry is not the right planning. Worry is not about the right planning. Now, to be honest, sometimes you can overplan, and if that's caused by sinful worry, that can be a bad thing. But sometimes you can also underplan, and I believe that is also could be considered to be careless because it's a wise thing to plan at least parts of your life in a way that would honor the Lord. I mean, consider what James says in James 4, 13 through 15. He says this, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, for what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live or do this or that." So again, in this passage, please note that it never says not to plan. It just is simply making sure that you include God's sovereignty and his providence into your plans. Make sure that you acknowledge that if the Lord wills it, such and such may come to pass, but don't presume upon the Lord. You know, you don't want to presume that you know everything that's going to happen, but you have to take it day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour. And you have to trust that while it's important for us to plan, that the Lord directs our path, right? The Bible says a man makes his plans, but the Lord directs his path. And so this is something that we've got to make sure that we're looking into when we talk about what worry is and what worry is not. Worry is not an appropriate concern. So if you're a parent, or if you have a good friend, or you have someone who's sick and you're paying attention to how to appropriately be aware, how to know what's going on and pray for them, that's good. Worry is not tending to the business of serving others. You know, sometimes there's a little bit of stress, and I'm saying that's not a sinful stress, and in preparing to teach and shepherding the flock and coming alongside those that need help. And worry is not right planning. You know, just because you're making plans doesn't mean somehow you're doing something wrong. That's a good and healthy thing to do. Just make sure you include the sovereignty of God in how you plan and that your ultimate trust is in him. Well, this kind of wraps up the first part of our series on worry and anxiety. And next week, we're going to talk a lot more about what worry and anxiety is. Today, we talked about what it's not. Next time, we're going to talk about what it is. Let me pray for you as we close. God, thank you for the opportunity to talk about worry and anxiety. There's a lot of this in the scripture, and we want to understand what worry is and what worry is not. And so I'm praying for that young man, that Gen Z man right now, who's maybe struggling with a relationship, maybe struggling with schoolwork or his job, or maybe just struggling with finances or just overwhelmed with circumstances. God, help that young man to look to you. Help them to learn to find the balance of what appropriate worry is in a way that honors you, and then what simple worry would look like as well, so that we can commit everything to prayer, trust you, and walk in obedience to your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.